Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Gospel lesson, especially verse 27 and following. He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." This is the text. Well, survey through the world of religions and you find out that messiahs come, messiahs go, and you have to be careful who you believe. If you are not careful who you believe, you may end up following somebody like, in the first reading, Theudas, who led 400 people and they rebelled against Rome, and Theudas died and they were scattered. Or, more recently, you may find yourself following somebody who claims that he can read golden plates through glasses, and that those golden plates then disappear, and then you end up trekking through the wilderness out to Salt Lake City. And believing the wrong thing can be dangerous. We Christians, we take our stand at a certain spot, and that certain spot is the resurrection of Jesus. And we say, this is the truth. This is the one most important truth in the whole world, in the whole history of the world. What is that truth? Christ is risen?
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Okay. That is truth. Now, that is truth that confronted the disciples. And follow me on this one. In a strange way, one of the most powerful proofs for Christianity is that the disciples did not and would not believe. Did not and would not believe, that is, until they came face to face with this risen Lord Jesus standing there bodily before them. But it is one of the powerful proofs of Christianity, because these were not gullible, easily fooled people. They didn't want to believe just any rumor, any story circulating around. So you remember how this goes. The women went off the tomb. The women had an encounter with Jesus. They come back saying, "He's risen." And the disciples, typical men, and they say, "Oh, the women, they're just imagining things." Okay? Well, you got to sympathize with them in part, because this doesn't happen, does it? You don't have somebody put to death, professional executioners, laid in the tomb, stone rolled over it, guards set outside the tomb, and then here he is 3 days later. Doesn't happen. Well, they saw Lazarus. But still, you got to sympathize with them, because it's unexpected. And it is unexpected, even though Jesus told them that he would rise on the third day. Still, it doesn't happen. It's not the pattern of how life goes along and how life ends, and then it's all over. It doesn't go this different way. And so, the disciples won't believe. The two on the way to Emmaus, they walk along with Jesus and they tell him that they're disappointed because they're sure that he's still in the tomb. And is he the only one who doesn't know this? And in the upper room, there's the ten. And there's the ten gathered there to not believe the women, gathered there to not believe that he's risen, gathered there to, oh, here's the two coming back from Emmaus, bringing news that now they've seen him. Oh, and here's the story from Peter And he appeared to Peter. And what is going on? You'd think they'd be ready, wouldn't you? But when he appears, they think they're seeing a ghost. He has to provide proofs. And here's another little part of the whole story. It says that Jesus provided many proofs as to his being risen from the dead. Many proofs. There are only some of them that are written in our Bible, in our Gospels. There are many more that we haven't heard of. And we have to ask the disciples when we get to heaven and talk to them and say, what other proofs did Jesus provide? Because we want to hear the rest of this story. But this is the truth. And it is a truth that is a powerful truth. It is a truth that changes the world because it changes the course and destiny of what this world is all about. The truth, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And a week later, it's time to have that encounter with Thomas. Again, sympathize with me with Thomas, okay? Here's a fellow who says, I need proof. I need to see. I need to put my finger in his hands. I need to put my hand in his side. I need to have actual proof that this is a physical body there. Oh, he's heard the story from the women. Oh, they're just imagining things. And then the disciples come to Thomas, and you can see his reaction. You too? You guys too? Don't you have more sense than this? Time after time after time, they will tell Thomas, Christ is risen.
Indeed. Hallelujah.
And Thomas, he's not going to have any of it until he sees. And he sees not only with eyes, but he sees with fingers. He sees by touching. And so Jesus, that week later, he goes and he shows himself to the disciples and to Thomas and invites Thomas, reach out your finger, put it into my hands. He knows exactly what Thomas has been saying. He knows Thomas's doubts, his fears, his questions, his not wanting to believe unless he can see. And now, Jesus, and I say it's very gently, brings Thomas in. But, thanks be to God for Thomas, because somebody had to stand there at the end of it all and say, only a true and real resurrected body. No stories, no imagining, no nice good feelings. Nice good feelings won't do anything for you if it isn't real. And Jesus is there to amaze Thomas, to stun and surprise and to shock him, and shows himself risen from the dead. And right on time, there's the slide. Huh. Love that, with a depiction of Thomas with mouth open and eyes wide in wonder and amazement. And there he is. Christ is risen.
Indeed. Hallelujah.
Try and sneak these by you occasionally. So what we have as Christians is we have a combination of two parts. We have something called truth. And that's the foundation. That truth, that Jesus, risen from the dead, lives and reigns, and he will return for us. But together with that truth, we have a gospel. See, there are truths that are unpleasant truths. There are truths we run into in this world that are not the nicest of truths. They're truths that we find out when we are rebuked or scolded. There are truths where we are corrected. There is a truth that comes upon you when you're driving along and there's these flashing lights that start in behind you. And there's some truth there, and it isn't that pleasant, is it? Okay? There are truths that you find out from parents and don't want to believe them until you become a certain age, and then everything my parents told me was right. Okay? There are those kind of truths. But then again, there is this truth that is the gospel truth, the wonderful message of salvation, and built on this simple truth that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Everything else comes along. The world changes. There's heaven opened up to us. There's eternal life. There's forgiveness of sins. What does Thomas see when he encounters Jesus? He sees nail-pierced hands. The hands of the cross. The hands of the promises of God. The promises of God carved into the flesh of God Himself. That our sins are forgiven. And we are loved by God. And He has opened up His kingdom to us. And we are destined to live forever, to live for all eternity. That's our truth to take and share with the world. The world that does not understand, know, or realize this truth or what a difference it makes. It is a truth that not only changes the course of the world, that changes the future, but also changes us. Because this truth reaches down deep inside of us and gets written in our hearts. It penetrates our souls. It is the Word of God spoken to us. And not only the Word of God spoken, but the Word of God and the truth of God with hands and feet, with pierced hands and pierced feet. It is the truth and the Word of God standing in front of the disciples. And now everything is different. And they know and they understand. And I'm struck by how quickly the confession comes from Thomas. And when Jesus says, "Reach out your hands, do not disbelieve, but believe," Thomas does not say, "Okay, I guess I'll reconsider this, and perhaps it is true, and now I'm coming to an understanding of what the whole thing means, and, oh, you must be the Lord." No, he says, "My Lord and my God." See how quickly he is right there? It is revealed to him, and that truth revealed penetrates down to the heart, and suddenly Thomas is changed. And everything he thought he knew is gone. And everything that comes with seeing this risen Lord Jesus, that is now his entire world. A week earlier, outside the tomb, same thing happened. Mary Magdalene, weeping and asking, "Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put the body." And Jesus says one word to her, "Mary." And it's instant. She replies, "Teacher." Or in Aramaic, "Rabboni." And in that one instant, she knows that the entire world is changed, her future and destiny is changed, and this Jesus is going to lead her into eternal life and eternal joy. It happens later. Paul, on the road to Damascus, encounters the risen Lord Jesus, has trouble figuring out what's going on until Ananias is there, and when Paul is baptized, comes to faith, it says in Acts chapter 9, immediately he began going to the synagogues and proving from the scripture that Jesus is the Christ. And see how suddenly that happens. And the reason why it happens that suddenly is because it is the Word of God and the truth of God. Not only the Word and the truth of God, but the Word and truth of God there with hands and feet, the risen Lord and Savior. And this one truth changes us as well. It comes down through the centuries to us, and we repeat it back and forth, and we say, this is the truth, where the whole world can come and question, bring on all the questions, because we know that this truth stands for all eternity. What truth is that? Christ is risen?
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen.